many of the science books are good because of the quality of their prose, the quality of writing is just absolutely brilliant. And so is the case with the book that I'm going to discuss today. It's called The Sixth Extinction, written by an American journalist, Elizabeth Colbert. The book talks about specifically the extinction, both of the past and the sixth one that is currently going on. So, what is this sixth extinction and how is it taking place? That is what the focus of this book is. But before we talk about that, allow me to narrate a few passages from the introduction part of this book, which tells you about how eloquently this author describes our species, that is the Homo sapiens, and our journey over millennia. And how we have seen different extinctions over this period. So I'm just going to narrate a few passages first, and then I'm going to talk about the sixth extinction. So here we go. Beginnings, it said, are apt to be shadowy. So it is with this story, which starts with the emergence of a new species, maybe 200,000 years ago. The species does not have a name. Nothing does. But it has the capacity to name things. As with any young species, this one's position is precarious. Its numbers are small, and its range restricted to a slice of eastern Africa. Slowly, its population grows. But quite possibly, then it contracts again. Some would claim nearly fatally to just a few thousand pairs. The members of the species are not particularly swift or strong or fertile. They are, however, singularly resourceful. Gradually, they push into regions with different climates, different predators, and different prey. None of the usual constraints of habitat or geography seem to check them. They cross rivers, plateaus, mountain ranges. In coastal regions, they gather shellfish. Farther inland, they hunt mammals. Everywhere they settle, they adapt and innovate. On reaching Europe, they encounter creatures very much like themselves, but stockier and probably brawnier, who have been living on the continent far longer. They interbreed with these creatures and then, by one means or another, kill them off. The end of this affair will turn out to be exemplary. As the species expands its range, it crosses paths with animals twice, 10 and even 20 times its size. Huge cats, towering bears, turtles as big as elephants, sloths that stand 5 meters tall. These species are more powerful and often fiercer. But they are slow to breed and are wiped out. Although a land animal, our species, ever inventive, crosses the sea. It reaches islands inhabited by evolution's outliers. Birds that lay 30 centimeter long eggs, big-sized hippos, giant skinks. Accustomed to isolation, these creatures are ill-equipped to deal with the newcomers or their fellow travelers, mostly rats. Many of them, too, succumb. The process continues in fits and starts for thousands of years, until the species, no longer so new, has spread to practically every corner of the globe. At this point, several things happen more or less at once that allow Homo sapiens, as it has come to call itself, to reproduce at an unprecedented rate. In a single century, the population doubles, then it doubles again, and then again. Vast forests are raised. Humans do this deliberately in order to feed themselves. Less deliberately, they shift organisms from one continent to another, reassembling the biosphere. Meanwhile, an even stranger and more radical transformation is underway. Having discovered subterranean reserves of energy, humans begin to change the composition of the atmosphere. This, in turn, alters the climate and the chemistry of the oceans. Some plants and animals adjust by moving. They climb mountains and migrate toward the poles. But a great many, at first hundreds, then thousands, and finally perhaps millions, find themselves marooned. Extinction rates soar, and the texture of life changes. No creature has ever altered life on the planet in this way before, and yet other comparable events have occurred. Very, very occasionally in the distant past, the planet has undergone change so wrenching that the diversity of life has plummeted. Five of these ancient events were catastrophic enough that they are put in their own category, the so-called Big Five. In what seems like a fantastic coincidence, but is probably no coincidence at all, the history of these events is recovered just as people come to realize that they're causing another one. When it is still too early to say whether it will reach the proportions of the Big Five, it becomes known as the Sixth Extinction. The story of the Sixth Extinction, at least as I've chosen to tell it, comes in 13 chapters. Each tracks a species that's in some way emblematic: the American mastodon, the great auk, the ammonite that disappeared at the end of the Cretaceous, alongside the dinosaurs. The creatures in the early chapters are already gone, and this part of the book is mostly concerned with the great extinctions of the past and the twisting history of their discovery, starting with the work of the French naturalist Georges Cuvier. The second part of the book takes place very much in the present, in the increasingly fragmented Amazon rainforest. On a fast warming slope in the Andes, on the outer reaches of the Great Barrier Reef. I chose to go to these particular places for the usual journalistic reasons. Because there was a research station there, or because someone invited me to tag along on an expedition. Such is the scope of the changes now taking place that I could have gone pretty much anywhere, and with the proper guidance, found signs of them. One chapter concerns a die-off happening more or less in my own backyard, and quite possibly in yours. If extinction is a morbid topic, mass extinction is, well, massively so. It's also a fascinating one. In the pages that follow, I try to convey both sides: the excitement of what's being learned as well as the horror of it. My hope is that readers of this book will come away with an appreciation of the truly extraordinary moment in which we live. So that bit was from the introduction of the book, where the author tells us about the journey of human beings and where we are right now. So what is this sixth extinction? Before that, let's understand what a mass extinction is. And as the author tells us, there have been five in the past, the five mass extinctions. So mass extinction is a short period of geological time in which a very high percentage of biodiversity, in which we can include from bacteria to fungi to plants, mammals, birds, reptiles, fish, all these wide range of species, they die out. They get wiped out. It's important to note that we're using the geological time here, which means we're not talking about months or years or decades here, not even probably centuries. We're talking about thousands and thousands of years, probably tens of thousands or even in certain cases millions of years. So for example, the last major mass extinction which occurred, it occurred 65.5 million years ago. And as you probably know, it wiped out the dinosaurs from the face of the earth. And as scientists suggest us, that we are in the middle of the sixth mass extinction. But there's a basic difference here. The previous extinctions, they were caused by natural phenomenon. Something happened because of natural causes. But this one, the sixth one, it is very much driven by human activity. Whether it is in terms of unsustainable use of land, or water, or energy, or the climate change. Through agriculture, we are causing deforestation, and then because of our consumerism, our habits, the fresh water is depleting to really, really dangerous levels. And with the vast spread of human species, our needs, we are pushing so many species to their extinction. The biodiversity is literally dying. And then the question usually is, how does that matter? We've got to that stage where we can live on our own, we can manage all kind of pandemics, difficulties. But that's not quite true. Like any other species, it doesn't exist in isolation. We are interconnected. It matters to us, the quality of our soil, the quality of our air, water, different kind of things, the ecosystem, all the species, their health, even the meat that we eat, the quality of it, everything. It works in cycles. And that's what the author tries to tell us, that how we are in the middle of this extinction and how is it going to impact us and the future generations of human beings. And that is what you're going to find out in this book when you read it. And by the way, the book also won Pulitzer Prize for tremendous journalistic work. So I hope when you get a chance to read this book, you'll have a good time.